عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثر من الصلاة علي يوم الجمعة فإنه يوم مشهود تشهده الملائكة وإن أحدا لن يصلي علي إلا عرضت علي صلواته حتى يفرغ منها قال قلت وبعد الموت قال إن الله حرم على الأرض أن تأكل أجساد الأنبياء عليهم الصلاة والسلام رواه ابن مادة بإسناد جيد كذا في الترغيب وزاد السخاوي في آخر الحديث فنبي الله حي يرزق وبسط في تخريجه وأخرج معناه من عن عدة من الصحابة رضي الله عنهم وقال القاري وله طرق كثيرة بألفاظ مختلفة. So this is a hadith which we read a number of times before as well, and just as a reminder, we're going to read this today and then inshallah we'll move on to our durood and then thereafter our discussion on seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu has reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I invoke blessings upon me abundantly on Friday. Jumaa ke din mein mujh par kathrat se durood bheja karo. Invoke blessings upon me abundantly on Friday. For it is a day in which the angels are present. Is liye ke aisa din hai ke malaika isme hazir hote hain. Nobody sends blessings upon me except that his blessings are presented to me as soon as he has invoked them. To jo bhi mujh par durood padta hai to wo durood is din mein jo bhi mujh par durood padta hai to wo durood uske farig hote hi mujh par pesh kiya jata hai. Qala qultu wa ba'd al-maut. He says Abu Darda says, I asked, O Messenger of Allah, even after your death, the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, verily Allah has forbidden the earth from decomposing the bodies of the prophets, upon them may be peace. So Imam Sahabi rahmatullah has narrated the addition, the Prophet of Allah is alive and is granted sustenance. To Hazrat Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu kehte hain ki maine arz kiya ke ya Rasool Allah, hum aap par sallallahu alaihi wasallam hum aap par durood bheja kare juma ke din aapki wafat ke baad bhi. To Huzur Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam irshad farmaya, Allah azza wa jalla ne zameen par is baat ko haram kar diya hai کہ وہ انبیاء علیہ السلام کے بدنوں کو کھائے. اور ایک دوسری روایت میں ہے کہ حضور نے بھی فرمایا کہ اللہ کا نبی زندہ ہوتا ہے اسے رزق دیا جاتا ہے. So صحابہ رضی اللہ عنہ asked the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم that after you pass, when you pass away, should we continue to, they said, how will our blessings be presented to you when you will have become decomposed in the grave? The noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has forbidden the earth from decomposing the bodies of the prophets. Allah azza wa jalla ne zameen par is baat ko haram kar diya hai ki wo anbiya alaihi salam ke badanon ko khaye. During the time of Sayyidina Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, or after, there was a, just like recently, there was a rainfall, huge rainfall in Medina, and so much, and floods everywhere. So it was a similar situation then as well, floods everywhere in Medina. And the wall, this is about almost 100 years after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's demise, and the wall, one of the walls of the masjid, it collapsed, fell. Right of the blessed chamber where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is buried, Rawda, the wall of the walls collapsed. And they say that the wall collapsed and the grave, one of the graves, it became open. It revealed itself. And they could see a foot of the three graves that are there. One is of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, next is of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and third is of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. And this created panic in Medina. People were, whose foot is this? Of the three, which one, who is he? And they say the great grandson of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was present at the time. So he came, he had a look. He said, he must be my great grandfather, Umar radiallahu anhu. I can recognize it from the toes. He says, the toes have, they have quite a bit of hair. I can see, recognize from it, this is the great-grandfather of mine, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So his body was seen almost 100 years after its burial, and this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said here, Allah azza wa jalla ne zameen par is baat ko haram kar diya hai, ki wo anbiya alayhi salam ke badano ko khaye. Allah has forbidden the earth from decomposing the bodies of the prophets, upon them be peace. So, and this was witnessed by numerous other people as well, many shuhada, you must have heard about other people as well. Our Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to talk about Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib. Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib was the Sheikh of Sayyid Tufail Shaheen Sahib. Pata nahi aap pe se kitno ko yaad hai. Purane log jo jante hain, inko pata hai Tufail Shaheen Sahib. He was one of his sheikhs. And Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib was the one who sent Shaheen Sahib over to Glasgow. So Mawlana Ibrahim Sahib's grave was opened almost a decade or two after his demise, and this, they noticed that the shroud, even the shroud was, even the shroud was as fresh as the day was buried, and they could still hear that, could sense that fragrance from the grave, and this was almost after a decade of the Sheikh's burial. So Allah Azza wa Jal apne nek bandon ke saath aisa karta hai. To yahi hamara ahle sunnat ka aqeeda hai ki qabr ki zindagi aur qabr ka azab aur qabr ki ne'matein ye haq hain. The aqeeda of ahle sunnat is that there is a azab, there is a punishment, and there is comfort in grave. Al qabr rawdatun min riyad al jannah aw hufratun min hufar al niran. Ya to ye jannat ke baghon mein se ek bagh hai ya jahannam ke gadhon mein se ek gadha hai. The grave is either a pit of hellfire or it's a garden of paradise. So qabr is, don't, and Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, we're just reading today the bab adab al qabr, and there's no so many ahadith. This is not the time to go into detail, but this is that an anbiya, our aqeedah is that anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, they are alive in their graves. And when you go to Rawda of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself hears your greetings. When you say as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah, he hears your greetings and he responds to it. And when you say salatu wassalam from a distance, then this salatu wassalam is presented to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he responds to your salatu wassalam. And then this gets noted somewhere and recorded somewhere, and it'll be paid back to you on the day of judgment. So Shafa, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who recites salatu wasalam upon me in the morning 10 times every day, and I think one hadith says in the evening and the other doesn't. If I remember correctly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that it's wajib upon me to make a shafa for him on the day of judgment. I will recommend his forgiveness to the Almighty Allah. I'll intercede on his behalf, for I'll intercede for him before Allah the Almighty. So this is not very difficult. All you need to do is remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After Zuhr today, we talked about bringing Allah into your lives. There are so many people who've forgotten Allah azza wa jal. They do not care Allah. They think about Allah superficially. They do read La ilaha illallah whenever they remember. But it's not the main, La ilaha illallah is not the key statement. It doesn't shape their lives. They shape their lives out with the circle of La ilaha illallah. They're very free. They do not take any restrictions. They do not commit themselves to La ilaha illallah. They see it as a burden. I want to excel in life. I have ambitions. I have dreams. I have goals. La ilaha illallah. They see it as an obstacle, even though this is not an obstacle. But they see it as an obstacle. So when you forget Allah, Allah forgets such individuals as well. يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدٌ. Wallahi, it shakes you, this ayah. أَحْصَاهُ اللَّهُ وَنَسُوهُ. They have forgotten Allah, but Allah has not forgotten them. Allah is recording everything that they do, is being recorded. Every aspect of theirs is being watched by Allah Azza wa Jal. And they have forgotten Allah. And when you forget Allah, then what happens in the grave? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the grave, the two angels come. And in the wrong hadith, the relevant part is, those who had forgotten Allah, and those who had abandoned Allah, and those who had pushed Allah out of their lives, when they are put in their graves, and the two angels come and they ask him, who are you? And what kind of people were you amongst? He says, ha ha la adri, I have no clue, I don't remember. And a call from the divine says, from the heaven says, kadhaba adu Allah. This enemy of Allah has lied, and he's a liar. And the scholars of hadith say, how is this a lie? When he says, la adri, I do not know. He genuinely, the poor guy means, I do not know. How is this is a lie? They say that this is still a lie because during his life, Allah was reminded to him day and day again. He used to hear adhan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. He used to hear ashadu an la ilaha illallah. He used to get reminded, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, but he never paid attention. When he says, la adri, it's not that he la adri. The reality is, he says, la ubali, I do not care. I didn't care in my life. It's not that he didn't know. He constantly was being reminded, but he kept on ignoring it, kept on ignoring it. Today he's presenting a false excuse that I didn't know. He knew, but he abandoned Allah. So now he's a adu of Allah, he's an enemy of Allah. Now do with him what he deserves. And then that is when the hadith says, فَيُقَيَّضُ عَلَيْهِ أَعْمَى وَأَصَمْ بِمَرْزَبَةٍ مِّنْ حَدِيدٍ. So Allah Azza wa Jal fix upon him an angel who is deaf and dumb. أَعْمَى وَأَصَمْ. He doesn't hear. He doesn't say anything. He sees, the only thing he does is, أَعْمَى, he's blind. And he's deaf. He doesn't hear anything. And what he does is, the only thing he knows is how to beat him up. And with this iron rod, iron hammer of this hammer, he beats him. And the hadith says that it is such a forceful hit that if that strike was to fall on a mountain, it would crush and crumble into dust. And because of that strike, he it happens to him. He turns and his bones are crushed, turns into dust. Then فَيُعَادُ فِيهِ رُوحُ. Then his soul is returned back to him. His body is restored so he could take another beating. And this is his punishment until the day of judgment. And the other person who remembers Allah, and so that is one part. The second part is to remember Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is also important, brothers. Because in the grave where this hadith is mentioned, that where he's asked, you'd be asked about Allah azza wa jal. The second question mentioned is, وَمَا تَقُولُ فِي هَذَا الرَّجُلُ وَمَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ فِيكُمْ. And وَكَيْفَ كُنْتَ فِي هَذَا. So you're asked in different phrases they are there. What do you say about this man? Or who was this man amongst you? هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. And the hadith does not say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shown to him. It is just that هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. Some scholars say هَذَا الرَّجُلُ means that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shown to the individual. And the other is that the test is all about his mind. Did you have Rasulullah in your mind or not? So if you didn't have Rasulullah in your mind, if you never thought about Rasulullah in your life, you would say, who is هَذَا الرَّجُلُ? Who are you talking about? And Allah wants you to remember هَذَا الرَّجُلُ. He should be in your mind. You should remember him. And he should shape your life. So the way you choose your life to live, the way you organize your life, it should be governed by the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you abandon Rasulullah, you would not remember him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ فِيكُمْ. Who was this man amongst you? So the one who remembered Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he immediately says, هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ بَعَثَ اللَّهُ فِينَا. And he says that he immediately says that he's a messenger of Allah, that Allah Azza wa Jal, وَجَاءَ بِآيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. He brought us clear signs of the Qur'an. فَصَدَّقْنَاهُ. So we confirmed him and we declare our belief in him. So this is something. If you do not bring Rasulullah into your life, then you would struggle in your grave. You would struggle in grave. May Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to remember Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our lives. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Salamun ala al-mursaleen. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المقد المقرب عندك. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسخط بعده أبدا. اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمدا وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وعطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار التحيات الزاكيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا وأن الساعة آتية لا ريب فيها السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين اللهم اغفر لي واهدني التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته بسم الله التحيات لله الصلوات لله الزاكيات لله السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله شهدت أن محمد رسول الله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الطيبات الصلوات الزاكيات لله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين التحيات لله الصلوات الطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله بسم الله والسلام على 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 رسول الله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين So we were talking about Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha last week. And we discussed that Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu anha, her Salatul Janaza was led by Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and the other details. After Sayyidina Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, the next person who comes to the front and who takes charge of the Muslim Ummah is Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu. And the point to remember is that the reason we are talking about this is that there is a fitna in our time which is raging. And then that fitna is about Ahl Bayt. And the masses of Muslim Ummah are accused of neglecting Ahl Bayt and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There's a claim that Ummah has generally, they've suppressed the Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they've neglected them. And they have not really fulfilled their right, and they have been, in fact, there's more to it. They lay blame of the innocent, murder and shahadat of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu and his family on everyone, the entire Muslim Ummah. This tragedy, which is very hurtful, is used to then raise, is used as a weapon against the mainstream Islam. And this is something that we need to deal, and something that we need to talk about. Muharram is just about 2 months away. You would start hearing this again. Now we are going through May, June and July. Mid-July, I think, in fact, the 1st, 8th, 9th July, that's when Muharram starts. And for then 18th, around about 16th, 17th of July, you'd start hearing 10th of Muharram, and the drums, they'll start beating drums louder and louder across the Muslim globe. It used to be only in a small part of the world, but now this has become a global phenomena. And it is, subhanAllah, Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their rights are highlighted and it's discussed, and then so many fake stories are thrown about, and this is something that affects the innocent Muslims. So we need to remind ourselves that this, we have no choice but to respond, and to at least just to create awareness amongst our own people, without labeling anyone, without accusing anyone, but just to discuss this and have clarity and deal with the confusion. Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what do we believe about Ahlul Bayt? They are very important. They are the cream of this ummah. They are the best of this ummah. They are held in a very high esteem. Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are revered, they are respected, they're very important people. They are very, they enjoy a very high status in the Muslim ummah. They have a right over the ummah, and the ummah is reminded to fulfill their duty towards Ahlul Bayt and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that there is no denial. Then what happened? So what happened, we'll talk about what happened, but before we get to that, let us understand the background, the history, what's going on. So we talked about, and then some of the myths that are there, that are thrown about, we've debunked some of it, we've dealt with some of it, and now we're coming slowly to, because they start from the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, and they take it back and they lay blame on everyone around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. False kind of stories are thrown about, and we just discussed in detail the Fadak orchard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had as a gift, not necessarily spoils of war, but it came to he sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him from the enemies, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used it for his Ahlul Bayt. And it was then continued to be used by the Khulafa for Ahlul Bayt. But it was not given to them directly. It was given to them, but not directly by Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, by Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, but Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu did give this to the Ahlul Bayt. And I'll talk about this in a bit, inshallah. But today we're talking about, after Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu led the janazah of Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. And about a year and a half later, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu himself passed away too. He passed away too. And when he passed away, he radiallahu anhu was also, he had a similar, he passed away around about the same age as of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was 2 years, in terms of age, he was 2 years younger from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 2 years after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr also passed away. And he passed away in similar circumstances. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the day he departed from this world, he said the food, the poison that was given to me in Khaybar, I feel that it has now returned and it is beginning to affect me and is suffocating me, and this was one of the reasons, one of the triggers, which led to the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is why he is referred to as Nabiyun Shaheed, a Nabi who was martyred. Similarly, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, 2 years later, he passed away too. And it is said that he was also poisoned. Without realizing, some enemies, some munafiqeen, some hypocrites, they invited him to a meal. It was him, and there was another hakim at the time, someone, a herbalist, someone who was expert in medicine at the time, who practiced medicine, and he was known for it. He was with Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. They were invited to a tribe. Somebody invited them, and they both were eating. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took one bite, and he took a bite too. And then he says to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, "Did you swallow the bite that you took?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I've swallowed it too. And there was poison in it, and this poison is going to affect us exactly a year later. Mark the date of today. Next year, on this day, both of us will return, will pass away, will die. None of us will be able to, will survive. We've been fed poison in this food, and we will not survive." And this happened exactly a year later. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed away, and before him, that herbalist, the person who was eating with him, he passed away too. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, on his deathbed, he passed away on Monday as well. It was Monday. Monday morning, he was on his deathbed, and he'd been unwell, and he knew that the time had come. So he asked his family, "What day is it today?" They said, "It's Monday." And he says, "I wish to depart." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. He passed away on Monday. So he says, I wish to depart from this dunya before the sun sets today. And so did it happen. He passed away that day on Monday, as did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So exactly, you can see reflection. You can see same thing. With the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a similar life. So if you make intentional choices where you follow the model of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, things that are not in your control, it will happen as such, that you will get such dates, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make such things happen, the things that are not in your control, if you follow sunnah intentionally and over things that you have control, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you the honor of things, or matching the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in matters which are beyond your control. So it happens. اپنی مرضی کی چیزوں میں رسول اللہ کے اتباع کریں، صلی اللہ علیہ سنت کی اتباع کریں، تو جو چیزیں آپ کے قابو میں نہیں ہیں ان میں بھی اللہ اتباع نصیب فرما دیتے ہیں. So may if you make an effort. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, all his life he did exactly everything as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him things that were beyond his control, and he had the same day, he passed away the same day as did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Monday. And then, and Abu Hazrat Rahmatullah used to say, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala Sahib, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him high place in Jannat of Firdaus. Hazrat used to say, normally people wish to die on a Friday, because they know that if I pass away on Friday, I'll be spared from the punishment of the grave. There's a bisharat, glad tiding. So everybody makes dua, ki mujhe Jumma ka din mele. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes my, that I depart and I'm buried on a Friday. Many, Hamari Shaheen Sahib, Rahmatullahi alayhi. Shaheen Sahib passed away on a Friday around about 9 o'clock in the morning. And subhanAllah, he passed away 9 o'clock in the morning, and within 3 hours his burial and everything was arranged. Janaza was 3 hours later and he was buried the same day. Bade khush naseeb hai, mashallah, is lihaz se, because he had ta'alluq with the mashayikh and with the ahlullah. So if you take that kind of model in life, then Allah Ta'ala graces you with his favors too. To khair baral, we're moving on to Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When he was in his deathbed, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was asked that, "Who are you going to choose as your successor? Who's going to be our Khalifa after you?" So he said, "Okay, fine." He said, "Okay, I'll choose someone for you." So he called Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. And he asked Uthman radiallahu anhu, "I want you to write down and something, and then take it to the people and say to them that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu has sent this message, and whosoever's name is in this envelope, we want you to commit to bay'at with that person. That you give your oath of allegiance to the man whose name is in this envelope, in this statement." So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was dictating Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in Abi Bakr ila, so whatever the statement was. And when he came to that, "After me should be Khalifa," and then he was about to say the name, and he fainted. He fainted, unconscious. And then after a little while, he regained his conscious. And he said, "Okay, what have you written?" And Uthman radiallahu anhu knew what he wanted to, what he was dictating. So he did everything. And he also had added the name of Umar radiallahu anhu at the time, because he knew that this is what he wanted to say. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave him dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you. And he expressed his joy and his happiness and gave him plenty du'as. This is exactly what I wanted to dictate, and you understood, and you completed the text. Then he continued, and the text was completed. And then he said, go and tell people that I have chosen someone for you. Give your oath of allegiance to him, whoever that person is. And people said that we trust you, O Khalifatul Rasulillah, whoever you have chosen to be our Amir, we take him as our Amir. Then his name was announced. He's Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. Some people were disturbed. Umar is very strict. He is very harsh. And this is going to become very difficult for us. He's a man who walks around with a whip. So what's going to happen? Now that's going to get too difficult. And they came and they complained to say, now Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Umar is going to be, it's going to be very tough for people. He's very harsh. People won't be able to put up with him. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, don't worry. He is very harsh, very strict. But when the burden of khilafat is placed on his shoulders, that will soften him. That will make him soft. He'll have to become soft. And do not worry. This is the best. And then someone said to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, what will you say? What face will you have before Allah? When Allah asks you that a person like Umar, you chose to be your successor and the khalifa after you. Okay, how will you answer Allah Azza wa Jal? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, very calmly he said, I'll say to the Almighty Allah, if he asks me, that amongst people, the man who I saw to be the best, I chose him as their khalifa and as their Amir. So I have no guilt, I have no worry, my conscience is clear, Umar deserves to be your khalifa. And people agreed, and as Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu passed, even his life, the initial commitment was made, when he passed away, they all gave the oath of allegiance to Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. There was no confusion, it was a smooth sail. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we discussed, there was some hesitation, there was reluctance, there was some tension, but then people understood that the signals that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given time and again, Amir of Hajj, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, saying to people, someone comes and she says that, O Nabi of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives her something and says, she says, this is not enough, I need more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to her, okay, come back next year, I'll give you more. And she says, what if you're not around, then what should I do? He said, go to Abu Bakr. So the Prophet ﷺ says, if I'm not around and if Allah ﷻ takes me away, then go to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr will fulfill my promise. And to other people, he said, I had a dream. And in my dream, I was drawing water from a well. And after me, when I moved away, Abu Bakr came next. And he started drawing water. And then came another person. And after him came Umar ﷺ, he started drawing water. So the Prophet ﷺ is preparing people. After me, it will be Abu Bakr, then it will be Umar. And the Prophet ﷺ says that I drank from a milk, and in my dream, I was offered milk, and I drank from it, and then when I finished, I gave it away to Abu Bakr, and he drank from it, and then he gave it away to Umar, and Umar drank from it. So the Prophet ﷺ was preparing Sahaba for this inevitability, that this will be the order, after me will be Abu Bakr, then shall come Umar. So when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu put Umar radiallahu anhu as charge, then clearly he remembered everything. I told you, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was Adam and Nas. He remembered small details from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many difficulties and many complexities were solved because of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu being very aware, very alert when those things were said. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the pulpit is saying, Allah gave a choice to a man whether he wants to continue living or to return to him, and the man chose the company of Allah azza wa jal. People thought that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was talking about some man. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started crying and he said, Ya Rasulullah, may our parents be sacrificed for you. So Abu Bakr wept. And people thought, what's happening to Abu Bakr? But then they realized the Prophet ﷺ was talking about himself, and only Abu Bakr understood at the time who the Prophet ﷺ was talking about. So Abu Bakr was very alert. He was very alert, very awake. So he wouldn't sleepwalk into things. He was very careful what was being said. And he remembered, Adhkar as well, A'lam, Ahfad. Atqa, you name it, and he had all those qualities because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted him to raise the and protect the banner of Islam after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr remembered everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said about Umar radiallahu anhu and about Umar radiallahu anhu coming after him. So he says, I have a very clear conscience. I have no doubt. If Allah asks me on the day of judgment that who did you appoint as your successor and Khalifa after you, then I'd say I chose the man who was the best amongst them. Very clear conscious, Abu Bakr is showing no hesitation, no reluctance, because he remembered things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said. So Abu Umar radiallahu anhu comes to him, becomes the Khalifa. And I'm going to here give you a few other reasons why Umar radiallahu anhu, this was the right choice. Ali radiallahu anhu, and Umar radiallahu anhu was martyred. Now I've just fast forwarded all the way to the end of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, his martyrdom. And I will go back. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his mayyit was lying there. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was sitting there besides the mayyit of Khalifa, who was just martyred, and he was the mayyit of his. And he says, while I sat there, grief struck, and someone came and he leaned on my shoulders. And the mayyit is right in front. The Nash is there. The body of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa, martyred, assassinated Khalifa, is there. And I'm sitting there, as grief struck, and someone comes and he leans on my shoulder and he speaks to the body. And he says, I knew this will happen to you, and that you will join Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his blessed chamber as well. And because I knew that I knew this because throughout my life I heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he would frequently mention you too with him. He would say, I was the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say, I was there and I went in and Abu Bakr and Umar. He would say, I came out and Abu Bakr and Umar. I walked and Abu Bakr and Umar. I stood and Abu Bakr and Umar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would always mention you two's name with his name. So I knew that you will join the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even after his death. And Abdullah ibn Abbas turned around and he said, who is this? And who was it? Lo and behold, Ali ibn Abi Talib karramallahu wajhahu. Sayyidina Ali, so one shahada I gave you from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had also said, if there was to be a Nabi after me, it would be Umar. And I explained previously. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I had a dream and I had this, and he's mentioning Umar again and again. And then Abu Bakr is giving that testimony. And the third testimony I've mentioned to you of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. And who's reporting? Abdullah ibn Abbas, the son of Abbas radiallahu anhu. Now Abbas radiallahu anhu is the paternal uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Abbas was a close advisor of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu was also a close advisor of Umar radiallahu anhu throughout his life. So this I've given you about. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that after Abu Bakr it'll be Umar. Abu Bakr says that the best person amongst after me is Umar. Ali radiallahu anhu says that Abu Bakr and Umar were the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention them with him wherever he'd mention his name. So Umar radiallahu, and then you've heard the story of Baytul Maqdis coming to Islam, how Baytul Maqdis was conquered. Umar radiallahu anhu comes, arrives at Baytul Maqdis, and the people of Al-Quds, they had refused to hand over Al-Quds to the Muslim forces. And they had laid siege around it, and they didn't want to invade, just like Makkah Mukarramah. They did not want to spill any blood in the sacred land. So Muslims were hesitant. They didn't want to lift their swords and did not want to spill any blood. So they were hesitant. And the people of, and they were saying to people, they were trying to convince the people of Al-Quds, you are not matched to us. We can simply crush you, but we do not want to spill any blood. Give in, and let's enter into some kind of treaty, and hand the city over to us. And the people of Al-Quds, the monks and the priests, they said, okay, we can give it to you, but none of you matches the criteria of the man who is supposed to take control of Al-Quds, so maybe you should call your Amir to come. And if we see in him the signs that we find in our kitabs, that they'll be the successors of the awaited prophet, then we'll hand over the keys to him. So Umar ibn al-Khattab comes all the way from Medina to Al-Quds. He comes all the way, travels all the way to Medina, from Medina to Al-Quds. And when he arrives at Al-Quds, the people of Al-Quds, they identify him. They know him immediately. This is the man. This is the man who is going to take the who deserves to who is going to, and who is meant to receive the keys of the city. They happily hand over the keys to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. You, the man who's awaited, the conqueror who's awaited, the successor of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the awaited one, we can't fight you, we cannot defeat you. You, the one to whom the city is promised, here are the keys, take the keys, and they hand over the keys to him. So even the kitabs, Ahlul Kitab, they knew that Umar radiallahu anhu was going to be a khalifa after Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So what other do we need to, there are numerous other ahadith. I don't have time, abhi azan hone lagi. There are numerous other ahadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned that Umar radiallahu anhu was going to be, or he'd given hints that after Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu would be khalifa. So Umar radiallahu anhu becomes khalifa. And then what does he add? What does he do? He adds about 2.2 million square miles of land to the Muslim kingdom. 2.2 million square miles. Such a vast area. On one side, all the way to Morocco, and the other side, and Al-Jazair, Tunis and Al-Jazair. And from the other side, all the way to Armenia. Go and check on your Google map. Armenia, where is Armenia? And Azerbaijan, and Tajikistan, and Georgian, which I think is Georgia. So that is the land which is conquered, which was brought into Islam by Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu under his guidance. So many people came to Islam because he was a true successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us the understanding and tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya Allah, apne fazl o karam se hamare iman ki hifazat farma. Allah, protect our iman from fitna. Allah, we're living through very difficult time. Oh Allah, we seek refuge with you against your anger and against your azab and against your punishment. Allah, do not abandon us. Allahumma waqiyatan ka waqiyatil walid. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma ansur ikhwanana al-mustadafin fi Gaza wa fi Filastin. Allahumma ansurhum nasran mu'azzara. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم إنا نسألك الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله